I certainly appreciate the good songs tonight. Amen. And I do want to welcome our visitors tonight. We're very thankful to have you with us. And I hope that we make you feel welcome among us. I'm very glad to be here tonight. I thought many times throughout the day today about the service that the Lord blessed us with last night. And as the day went on today, the closer that this time came, the more excited I got. I just couldn't wait to get back and see what the Lord has in store for us tonight. I thought this afternoon, I thought, well, I believe I'm feeling a little bit of what David must have wrote about when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm just very thankful to be back tonight and be with all of you. Thankful that God has granted us this privilege to assemble and to worship Him tonight. He's worthy of all of our worship. I want to read some scripture tonight from the 40th Psalm. You want to read with me, I'll give you just a moment to turn there to the 40th Psalm. I want to read just a short scripture reading tonight. But I want to say before I do that it's my desire tonight to just share with you what the Lord sent me here to share with you, to just try to preach that God placed upon my heart. I want to serve Him tonight. And I don't want to, if God will help me, I don't want to hold anything back. I just want to be used of the Lord tonight. And I believe that the most important thing that we can do here in this service tonight and in any service is to glorify the Lord, to please God. You know, it's His service, and we need to let Him have His way with us. And we just need to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit would bid us to do. And so I want to read a few verses from the 40th Psalm. And I want to talk about something tonight that the Bible has much to say about. And that is praise. In the 40th Psalm, in the first verse, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet up on a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And you know, I've made this statement here before on several occasions. We sing from time to time, we sing the song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. And it's kind of a fun song really to sing, and it's a good song, but we can't really do that, can we? And I believe that this verse here tells us that concerning God's blessings toward us, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God is good to us. God is so good to His people. And as I said, I want to speak tonight about something that if you study the Bible, you'll find that this is spoken of all throughout the scriptures, and it's spoken of many times in the Psalms. You'll find the word praise being spoken in reference to the Lord. You'll find that throughout the Psalms many times where It speaks about God's people praising the Lord. And I want to use a title, and that being the effects and the accomplishments of praise. You know, I believe that there are good things that happen when we do what we are supposed to do as God's people and we praise the Lord. It has a great effect and it has great accomplishments. And so in the 40th Psalm where I read, and I want you to make note of this, that David, here, the psalmist here, talking about what the Lord had done for him, bringing him up out of that horrible pit, placing his feet up on a rock and establishing his goings. You know, David, in the opening words of this, it said that he experienced these things while waiting patiently upon the Lord. And you know, the 40th chapter of Isaiah tells us that good things happen to those that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so there are good things that happen to those, great blessings that come from waiting on the Lord. So David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Aren't you glad tonight that God heard your cry? Aren't you thankful tonight that when you cried out to God for the salvation of your soul, that he heard your cry? And I want to say this to anybody that's here tonight that's lost and without the Lord, if you will cry out to God with all your heart, he will hear your cry as well. And he will do for you the same thing that he has done for us. And so here again, he is praising God for what he had done for him, for hearing his cry, bringing him up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, setting his feet up on a rock and establishing his goings. And of course, David here in the second verse there, he wasn't talking about, being in a pit, in a physical pit, the way that Joseph once was, but he was talking about God bringing him out of an awful spiritual dilemma, an awful spiritual condition that he had found himself in. You know, it's not good to be lost, is it? I mean, you know, when a person is brought to the realization that they're lost and separated from God, you need to begin seeking for the salvation of your soul right then, because it's not good to be lost and in your sins. And so I want you, though, to notice what he said that the Lord did for him when he brought him up out of this horrible pit. He hath put a new song in my mouth. In my mouth. Now we know that when God saved us, that he did his work on the inward man. We know that the Bible says that it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, if you confess it with the mouth before you possess it in the heart, then it's a false profession and it won't do you any good. But it's, you know, with the heart, with the inward man, we believe unto righteousness. And when that takes place by the help of God, then we have something that we can confess with our mouth. And so, you know, the psalmist here didn't just speak about what God did in his heart. And I believe that this is very important, what he said here. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And you know, it's a wonderful thing within itself, the ability that God gives us to be able to be vocal, the ability that God gives us to be able to speak. Listen, if you don't think that's a great blessing, You just ask somebody that has lost that. It's a wonderful blessing that we are able to speak, and we ought to, you know, I believe that for all of us that have been saved, God has put His new song in our mouth, and that song is one of praise. Praise unto God for the things that He has done for us. Listen, if you're here tonight and you have been saved by the grace of God, you have what you have something that is a person can be more thankful for than anything else that a person can ever experience in this life. There is absolutely nothing that matches it. There is absolutely nothing better than being saved. I mean, it is the ultimate victory for us, isn't it? To come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. I'm glad that I can speak tonight from personal experience and give personal testimony of that, that since the Lord saved my soul 41 years ago, that there has never been anything else in my life that has quite compared to that. God has blessed me in many ways. God has been good to me in many ways, and there are things, many things, that often that I reflect upon, and I think about the goodness of God that He has bestowed upon me in my life, but that moment that I came to know Him is the greatest of all. And I know by experience what the psalmist was talking about here, when he talked about God bringing him up out of that horrible pit and placing his feet up on a rock and establishing his goings. I remember very well when I got saved, and I've shared this with you before, but I remember as well as if it happened to me yesterday when I got saved, and it was very late at night or very early in the morning, whichever way you want to look at it. But I remember when I got saved, the first thing that came to my mind was I wanted to tell somebody what had happened to me. And so I was many miles away from her, but I picked up the phone and I called my dear mother, who had prayed many prayers for me and had talked to me many times about my soul. I picked up the phone, and you know, it didn't bother me at all to wake her up. I woke her up and I said, "Mom, I just got to tell you, I found the Lord tonight. I mean, I just wanted to tell somebody immediately what the Lord had done for me." And of course, she really didn't mind me waking her up, to be honest with you. She was glad to hear it. Thankful what the Lord has done for me. I need to praise Him for that. We all, as His children, we need to praise Him for what He has done for us. And we need to exercise that which God has done for us when He put a new song in our mouth. Amen. Even praise unto our God. You know, people tell me from time to time, I'm shy. Well, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people have a shy personality. That's all right. You know, listen, if there are things in life that you want to be shy about, that's fine. If there are things that you don't really want to be very vocal about, that you really don't want to talk about a whole lot with anybody, that's fine. But listen, if you have been saved by the grace of God, don't ever be shy about speaking for the Lord. When you sit in the congregation of God's people and we begin to sing, sing. Brother Chris already mentioned tonight that God's more interested in our praise than He is our talent. I believe that. I believe God wants us to praise Him. He knows our talent, doesn't He? When God told Moses to go unto the Pharaoh and to tell him to let the people go, Moses tried to use the excuse of having a stammering tongue, and God said, "Well, who made it? Who made your tongue? He already knows all about that, doesn't he? We need to praise the Lord. In the 148th Psalm, and I'm not going to go through all this, but I want to tell you what the highlights of what are spoken about in this 148th Psalm. The Psalm instructs us there and tells us there that God receives praise from angels, from the sun and the moon, from the stars, from the heavens of heavens, from the waters that are above the heavens, from dragons, from fire, from hail, from snow, from mountains, from trees, from cattle, birds, kings, young men, old men, maidens, children, and all the people of the earth. Read it. The 148th Psalm tells us that God receives praise from all of those things. Can the sun praise God? Well, he made it, didn't he? Can the moon praise God? Well, he made it. The stars, he made them. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis about that, that God created all of these things. And you know, the sun sets there and it shines in the daytime. And the moon gives light at night. And the stars give light at night. And the birds fly through the air. And all the time that they're doing that, according to what the scriptures tell us, they are making declaration that God is that God exists, that he's real, that there is a God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, according to the 19th Psalm. They declare the existence of God. Listen, man's without excuse. Those that say, I do not believe that there's any such thing as a divine God, they are without excuse because his existence is declared by the things that he has made. You could say, well, now how can the sun, how can the moon, how can the stars, how can the little birds flying through the air praise God? Well, they do. God's word said that they do. You know, if you read the word of God, and the word of God is inspired. It's inspired. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the author of all scripture. And it just seems to me like all the things that you read, and as I said earlier, especially in the Psalms, all the things that you read in the Bible about God being praised, it just seems to me that God wanted to drive home the point that he expects us to praise him, to openly give him praise. And I believe that he does that because of the effect that it has and the things that it accomplishes. And hopefully, by the help of the Lord, I want to speak about some of those things. I want us to look at some scripture in the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with verse 37. This always intrigues me every time I read it. This is talking about Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Believe they would have? I do. Listen, obviously from what we find in God's word, the sun, the moon, the stars, the hail, the snow, fire, all of these things are capable of praising the Lord. The rocks, if necessary, can cry out and give praise to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. I don't believe that any of these things can praise God the way that those who have been bought by the blood of Jesus can praise Him. The sun can't testify anything about the saving grace of God, can it? Angels can't even do that. The moon cannot. It can declare God, and it does, but it can't tell you what it's like to be lost. It can't tell you what it's like to be under the condemnation and the guilt of sin and come to the Lord and repent before Him and just be broken and be crushed and pray to God, and then all of a sudden God take all of that away from you. Nobody can praise Him like we can. And if we fail, then it's a failure indeed, isn't it? We need to be sure that we praise the Lord. The Bible says in the 48th Psalm, in the first verse, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. You know, I find in myself, and I'm confident that you do as well, I find myself giving thanks to God. I believe it was maybe two nights ago, maybe it was last night or two nights ago, when Sister Howard requested the song, about giving thanks to the Lord and praise to the Lord for the things that He has done for us. I have so much to thank Him for. I have so much to praise Him for. And you know, every time I sing that song, if I really begin to think about it, I can say, amen. I have so much to thank God for. I have so many things to praise the Lord for. You know, I'm afraid that God has done many things for me that I don't even stop and think about. We take a lot for granted. But boy, you begin to think about it, it doesn't take long to realize, yeah, we've got so much to praise our Lord for. God is great. And I find myself oftentimes, and I'm sure you do, as we begin to ponder these things and we begin to meditate upon these things, we find ourselves praising Him, maybe even by yourself in your car or at home or something, just giving praise to God and giving thanks to God for the things that He has done for us. And certainly we can do that, but you know, sometimes it just seems to come over me, and I'm sure that this happens to you as well, that I just begin to praise God because He's God. Just praise Him because He's great. Just praise Him because He is almighty, because He's powerful, because He's the creator of all things. We can praise God just because He's great. He's great, and He's greatly to be praised. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And you know, isn't it amazing? I mean, isn't it one of the most amazing things about God that He desires a relationship with us? Isn't that something? I mean, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God created man and only gave him one law to keep, and He didn't even do that. He transgressed that one law that God gave him, but yet God desired a relationship with him. God desired that man would know Him and have a relationship with Him, to the extent that the Bible tells us that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I don't know how you feel, but to me, in my thoughts, that's one of the most amazing things, is that God came desiring to save me. Sister Moats, to have a relationship with me and for me to be able to have a personal relationship with the Lord. To know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To bring me up out of that horrible pit. Listen, if I don't praise Him and I don't honor Him, shame on me. If we don't praise Him and we don't honor the Lord, shame on us. The 18th Psalm in verse 3. This is a reason for us to praise the Lord. It says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. You know something? I'm not looking for your praise tonight. I don't believe that you're looking for my praise tonight, because I believe that deep down in our hearts, we know that it doesn't belong to us. We know that we're not worthy of it. I respect people. My brothers and my sisters in the Lord, I have a great deal of love for you. I have a great deal of respect and admiration for you. But I praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray to Him. I humble myself before Him as much as I can. And I call upon His name, and I don't bow my knee to anybody but Him. He is worthy to be praised. In the 107th Psalm, four times in that Psalm. Now, you know, I mean, to me, if you find a Psalm or a chapter, in the Bible, if you find several scriptures in the Bible where four times the Lord inspired His writer to say the same thing, seems to me like He wants to make a point, doesn't He? Four times in the 107th Psalm, and every time with an exclamation point at the end, we find these words, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His works to the children of men. I enjoyed the sermon last night. I did. I enjoyed listening to Brother Chris preach the Word of God to us last night. But oh, I enjoyed the worship and the service that we had. I enjoyed last night seeing God's people begin to get loose and give praise to God with their mouth, to be able to start to speak about the things. I got so caught up in Brother Matt's testimony about what the Lord had done for him. And it began to have an effect upon me, and I believe it had a great effect upon the service. And Brother Chris has spoken about this a couple of times this week, about some of the old sisters that used to make such an impression upon him when he was a lost young man. You know, I've shared that same thing on more than one occasion with the church here about some of those dear old saints of God. When I was growing up and when I was lost and would be in service somewhere, how that they would have such an effect upon me when they came to talk to me. But listen, I remember many times sitting in a service just like we are tonight, sitting in a service when I was lost and separated from God. And I believe that some of you here tonight are certainly going to be able to relate to this. But I can recall many times in my youth when I would be sitting in a service and there would be a preacher up there behind the pulpit and he would be preaching the gospel. And you know, I believe that we need to preach the Word of God. I believe it's extremely important that we preach the Word of God. But I would be sitting back there and I'd be listening to the preacher preach Well, sometimes I'd be listening anyway. Sometimes I wouldn't. But you know what? When the people of God would begin to cut loose and praise the Lord, when somebody, you know, some old saint would get happy and start shouting, and then somebody else would get up and perhaps give a testimony, and people just begin to praise the Lord for His wonderful works towards them. I would sit there as a lost boy, and I would think, man, I'm in trouble now. I'm in trouble now. Somebody's going to come, and they're going to talk to me about my soul. And I'll tell you what, those old saints of God rejoicing in the Lord had a profound effect upon me. Amen. I mean, big time. And I believe it's very important. And I believe the Bible gives us evidence and proof of that. Think about what was said here in this psalm that I read. Listen. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Didn't he tell us there that it would have its effect? Isn't that what he's saying there? That this praise that God has put in my mouth, this song, this new song that he has put in the mouth of his children, that when we begin to praise the Lord, that it will have its effect? Listen, I can recall a time reading about in the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles about two preachers that were put in prison. Paul and Silas were put into prison, and they were cast into the inner prison. They were in a dark and a dingy place. They were in a place that was not at all desirable. Their feet were made fast in the stocks, and the Bible says in that awful condition, under those awful circumstances that they were in, at about midnight, they begin to sing and they begin to praise the Lord. They begin to pray, rather, and sing praises to the Lord. Now, think about it. They were not sitting in an air-conditioned church building. They were not sitting on padded church pews. They were not sitting among people of a kindred spirit. They were not sitting comfortably among friends. They were in a deep, dark, dirty dungeon of a prison, shackled. And they begin to sing. They begin to pray and praise the Lord. You ever seen somebody that just seemed to be in the lowest, lowest dilemma in their life, and they just begin to praise the Lord? Doesn't that have an effect on you? I mean, when you see that? Well, this jailer, he wasn't worried about it. He had the situation under control. Those men were in custody. They were locked up. He had the situation under control, and he wasn't worried about it a bit, because the Bible tells us he was asleep. But when they begin to pray and praise the Lord, the Bible tells us that there was an earthquake that just shook the foundation of the prison. The doors were opened. All the prisoners were loosed. He woke up, and he thought, well, I've done it. He took his sword to just kill himself. Paul spoke up and said, don't do that. Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. What an effect it had upon that man. The Bible says he called for a light. He came in and he fell before their feet. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'll tell you what, listen, we said oftentimes in our church services, in revival meetings, we say oftentimes, boy, we need the power of God. We'd love to see Holy Ghost power fall down upon us. Well, listen, if you want to see God shake the foundation, if you want to see the Lord manifest His presence and His power, just let the redeemed of the Lord begin to praise Him for what He's done. God will send His power. He'll send His power. Too often, God put this new song in our mouth. Listen, I'm telling you, what God has placed in our heart ought to come out of our mouth. It ought to come out of our mouth. We ought to tell it. You know, many shall see it. He has put a new song in my mouth. Many shall see it and fear. If we don't praise the Lord openly, how will that happen? Can you open your heart and show them what's in there? With the heart, we believe unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Expressive. Telling about it. What's the Bible say that the redeemed are supposed to do? Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. I love to be with the people of God when they begin to praise the Lord. Some people that would come in and hear somebody begin to shout, they would say, well, get them a straitjacket. They've lost their mind. Or they might say like they did there one time when they witnessed the disciples being close to the Lord and rejoicing. They might say, well, they got a hold of some wine. You know, these people, they must be intoxicated. Well, they were, weren't they? But not on wine. They were intoxicated in the Spirit of the Lord. But listen, I've heard people say, I'm talking about saved people. I've heard people confess that they were going to bring somebody to church, and they thought, well, I hope that somebody don't get to shouting or something like that, because this is the first time that they'll be here and it'll scare them away. I don't think so. I believe it's attractive when people are really praising the Lord. We don't need to worry about what somebody thinks about it, do we? We need to praise God for what He has done for us, and it will have its effect. It will have its effect upon people. And when we sing, we don't need to just sing songs. We need to sing praises. The Bible doesn't tell us there in the 16th chapter of Acts that Paul and Silas prayed and just sang a song. They sang praises unto God. We need to praise the Lord in worship. And, people have done that throughout the years. People have done that in many different ways. Each generation in their own time. I don't know exactly what kind of song that Paul and Silas sang there in that inner prison. I'm confident that Paul didn't turn to Silas and say, we need to praise the Lord in song. Turn in your church hymnal to 110. I don't know what kind of song they sung, but I know they praised the Lord with it. They praise God in their songs. And we need to do that today. We need to praise Him in our songs, in our testimonies, in our worship. If we come to the house of God and God's not praised, then we failed. Because He's worthy. He's worthy of all the honor and all the glory that we could possibly give to Him. And it will affect people. I can tell you that not only from the scriptures, but by personal experience, that it will have its effect upon people. You know what? We need to just cut loose. I'm not talking about manufacturing something. I'm just talking about cutting loose and just letting the Lord have His way with us. We need to do that whenever we assemble. Just let the Lord have His way with us. Don't be ashamed of Him. When you pick up your songbook to sing, sing! Sing to the Lord! We're not singing to each other. We're singing to the Lord. We're praising God in our songs. When you get up to testify, don't let the devil hinder you. Don't let the devil make you self-conscious and say, well, you know, you're probably not going to say the right words. Don't worry about it. Just pour your heart out and praise the Lord, and it'll all be well. It'll all be well. I've heard preachers in my life, many of them when I was a young man, I sat and listened to preachers in my life that some of them couldn't read very well. I mean, they get to reading some of those Old Testament names and you didn't know what they were saying. But man, I mean, they would preach and God's power would be with them. They were serving the Lord. They weren't worrying about what they sounded like to people. They were serving the Lord. They were doing the best they could and serving the Lord. And you know what? We don't need to ridicule each other. The world to do enough of that to us. We need to support each other. Pray for each other. I pray tonight. I really do. I pray tonight that God will get a hold of you and just help you to rejoice tonight in the salvation of your soul and praise the Lord with all of your being. And you know what? If we do that, whenever we do that, we'll be able to say, man, it was good. It was good to be at church tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to be. You need that more than anything. And I'll tell you what, you seek the Lord and you find Him, you come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll have something that will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's sing and let's praise the Lord.